This is Luther Marquardt, and I'm Executive Vice President of the American Sugar Beet Growers Association and Chairman, former Chairman of the American Sugar Alliance, which is the umbrella organization for all of the sugar beet, sugar cane growers and processors and refiners. And we are in 22 states. We have about 142,000 jobs and contribute about $20 billion to the U.S. economy.
Luther, this week you're wrapping up an annual symposium that you put together with the sugar industry, which was in Michigan for this year. Can you share a little bit more about this event and some of the main highlights?
Yes, each year we bring all of the leaders of the sugar beet and sugar cane industry together to focus on a number of things that the sugar industry faces. Of course, we've got a farm bill that is working its way through Congress. We've got members of Congress that visited and spoke to our convention. We've got trade issues. Obviously, that's a big thing that's going on right now. But as the third largest importer in the world, we're not affected so much by the tumultuous trade issues that are going on at the moment. So we're in pretty good shape on that. We've had trade problems with Mexico that got resolved about a year ago. The Trump administration had stepped in and aggressively worked to solve that problem, and those things appear to be working quite well. So it's just a great opportunity to review all these issues by the CEOs of the companies as well as the grower leaders from the beet and cane industry throughout the country.
Bringing in the chief ag negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative's office, Greg Dowd, what was his message when it came to the trade situation involving sugar and other parts of agriculture?
Well, Ambassador Dowd really laid out the problems that we're having in trade, particularly with China and some of our other trading partners, and that for many, many years, a number of these countries really haven't played fairly by the rules. In the World Trade Organization, you're supposed to report your subsidies that you're doing and make sure that you stay within the boundaries that you've negotiated. And, you know, he's arguing that the Chinese have not even filed or reported anything since 2010. So if you have no data for the last 8 years, and I think he made the note that there's like $100 billion in subsidies that have gone to their farmers. He's just made it very clear of the unfair trading practices by many of our global competitors. And there's been a lot in the news about steel and aluminum and the overcapacity that many of these countries have, and then they dump their surpluses below cost of production, and that's a threat to the U.S. And then he was quoted as saying, if you think there's a problem in steel, take a look at the world sugar market. That's worse than the steel market of countries that subsidize and dump their product into the world markets below anybody's cost of production. And I think the example of that is worldwide, it costs about 22 cents a pound to produce raw sugar. Raw sugar is not what you would buy in the store. That's refined sugar. The raw sugar is a lower grade. And it takes 22 cents to produce it, and it is currently selling on the world market at about 11 cents. So it's selling at half the price that it costs to produce it. And you don't do that without massive subsidies and government intervention by foreign suppliers. So the argument is American producers are tremendously efficient, but you cannot compete against countries who subsidize and dump. And that's not just in sugar, it's in a number of things. And I think the Trump administration is trying to get tough and resolve these issues. It's painful. And it clearly it's, you know, soybean and corn and pork, and these products have taken a hit. And they knew it was going to be painful, but the view is you have got to address these distortions in these global markets. If you don't step up and do that, you're going to have problems for a very, very long time. So I thought that Ambassador Dow did a very good job. He was warmly received. And I think everybody knows that over the next few months, it's going to be tough out there. But at some point, there has to be a reckoning for the unfair trade practices by these foreign countries.
Can you expand a little bit more about overproduction in the sugar space and what that's been doing to U.S. producers' prices?
Sure. The major producers and the sugar producers in the world are Brazil, India, Thailand, and Australia. Those are the big, big players in the world market. And what happens is the government intervenes and provides subsidies to all of these countries, and they do it primarily because there are a lot of people in the farming and production of sugar cane, and it's an employment issue. And if they were to respond to the market and, you know, reduce some of their production, they would have social unrest. So it's like it doesn't matter, you know, what the market says we should do. They're just going to go ahead and subsidize in order just to maintain social stability in their country. So what happens then is when you're subsidizing an industry not based on market pressures, but based on social stability, you end up producing more than what you need, more than what the global markets are. We're in a wash of sugar globally, but that doesn't change their behavior. Okay, they continue to intervene and subsidize. So what that does is that by dumping that sugar into the world market, it threatens efficient producers like U.S. producers, so you have to simply have a policy in place that says, hey, we're not going to allow these foreign countries that subsidize and dump to come in and put more efficient producers out of business. And that's why we've got a domestic sugar policy that says, hey, we will import. We're the third largest importer in the world, and those imports come in duty-free. But if we won't allow surplus sugar to come in and oversupply this market and depress the price and drive our producers out of business. And we can do all of that at no cost to the American taxpayer. Okay, unlike other farm programs where there are some payments in one form or another to producers, in sugar, there are no payments to farmers. Opponents always say, well, you've got a subsidy. Well, if you go and you look, there is no expenditure for the U.S. sugar policy. We simply take loans out on the sugar to pay our farmers, and then because we store the sugar, as we sell it into the market throughout the year, the loans are paid back to USDA with interest, and at the end of the year it comes out as no cost to the American taxpayer. And from a consumer perspective, for consumers that go buy sugar off the shelf, you're paying about 22% less than what the average is in other developed countries. So the American consumer is getting a deal, and for food manufacturers, they're paying about 25% less than you would in other developed countries around the world. So the consumer gets a good deal. You're making sure that efficient U.S. producers are not threatened and driven out of business by unfair trading practices that are, frankly, predators in the world market You're putting $20 billion into the U.S. economy and providing 142,000 jobs. It's a win-win all the way around.
Can you talk a little bit more about sugar prices set for U.S. producers and how that matches up with other depressed commodities?
Well, on sugar prices for U.S. producers, all of our farmers are members of farmer-owned cooperatives. Farmers own all 22 of the sugar beet factories in the United States, and most of the cane refineries are owned by sugar cane farmers. So under the policy, USDA, Department of Agriculture, looks at what our needs are going to be, and then we anticipate what our production is going to be, and then whatever is left, we provide access for 41 countries, and our biggest supplier is Mexico. And we import about 3 million tons a year, give or take, and that all comes in duty-free. But then, as I said, anything over that that would depress the price, that is then subject to a much higher duty. But so that what happens is the price is much more stable than what you will find in other commodities. If we didn't have U.S. sugar policy, prices would be sky high and then horribly low. And sugar is not a commodity that you can just get in and out of. You've got a dedicated processing facility that needs to be fed every year. So you need a policy that stabilizes the price to keep producers in business. And so, again, with all of these trade issues that are affecting the prices of other commodities, because we've got a successful sugar policy, we are somewhat insulated from the issues that the other commodities are facing at the moment.
Looking at the two farm bills in conference at this point, how does sugar policy stack up in the House and Senate versions, and what do you expect to see in a final version?
Well, the sugar policy was unchanged in both the House and the Senate, so really that is not an issue as you go into conference. They're focused on other things, so you know, we would simply expect policy to move forward. Now, of course, you never know what can happen in a conference report as they work through it. But, you know, we had one attack that came in the House of Representatives by Virginia Fox of North Carolina, Danny Davis from the Chicago area, and the House of Representatives rejected that by a 141 vote margin. They understood what the what Ms. Fox and was trying to do, and that was going to devastate this domestic industry and close down factories, send our jobs overseas. And they just felt very strongly that that had to be stopped. And I think one of the examples that was used in that debate is, you know, you take a candy bar that costs you $1.39 at the grocery store, there's 2 cents worth of sugar in that. And so if you gave them the sugar, if you gave our food manufacturers the sugar, they're not going to lower their price. So I think that argument went a long way. And I think they also said, look, this is about American industry, American jobs. This is not an inefficient industry. It's one of the most efficient in the world. And as you look at industries that are sustainable, you know, really doing good things for the environment and doing it growing it in the best way, we do that in the United States better than anybody. And we're just, I think that's another message that was sent. So as you look at a strong vote in the House, The Senate didn't even pick it up. They looked at the vote in the House and said, well, listen, this is ridiculous. It's wasting our time in the Senate to even have that debate. So there wasn't even an amendment in the Senate. So we are hopeful that they will get the conference report done as quickly as possible. Now, whether they can get it done before the elections or they have to do it in lame duck, I think it just depends on how quickly they can resolve some of the bigger issues. I think they'd like to get it done before the elections, but I'm very confident it'll get done this year, because if it didn't, then you'd have to start all over again in a new Congress and reintroduce the bills and then, you know, go through everything again. And nobody really wants to do that. I think Congress really is looking at farmers are really struggling, and they're going to need to start getting financing for their 2019 crop later this year, and they need a good, strong farm policy in place for farmers and bankers to make very important decisions.
Well, is there any other comments to wrap us up with, maybe activities at the symposium or where the group's headed?
Let me just think about that. No, I think the good news is we've got a program that works. It doesn't cost the taxpayer any money. Our trade issues with Mexico, we believe, have been resolved and are working. Both the Mexican industry and the U.S. industry are pleased with the problems getting fixed by the Trump administration about a year ago. And so I think when people left, they just felt that we need to get this farm bill done. We need to get these trade agreements taken care of, and sugar should be untouched in the NAFTA. We don't need any more imports in here. We've got a system that really works, and we just need to keep supporting that. So I think people left on a very upbeat feeling, but as with anything, there's always work to be done, and so we feel very good about where we are today.